Why do I hang out with you? Why? All I wanted was to have a regular beer at my regular bar, with my regular friends in my regular city.
Ted. You're not even looking.
No, I'm not.
Look, our forefathers died for the pursuit of happiness, okay? Not for the sit around and wait of happiness. Now, if you want, you can go to the same bar, drink the same beer, talk to the same people every day, or you can lick the Liberty Bell. You can grab life by the crack and lick the crap out of it.
That was beautiful, man.
Hi, everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the American English Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to have a mini history lesson about the Liberty Bell, which is a giant bell in Philadelphia that is a symbol of freedom in the United States. One of the things that is iconic about the Liberty Bell is the massive crack down the middle of it. You may have recognized the voices in that introduction, which was taken from episode number 3 of the series, How I Met Your Mother. Those voices were of Barney and Ted, who are two main characters on the show. And in that particular episode, they decided to follow two attractive women on a plane from New York to Philadelphia, and the women turned them down. The women were not interested in them. And so Barney and Ted changed plans and decided to go on a mission to lick the crack in the Liberty Bell. Now, this is not a thing. People do not get lucky if they lick the crack in the Liberty Bell or kiss the Liberty Bell. This is just something that was part of that particular episode. Be sure to stay tuned if you are interested in learning more about that iconic bell. Let's go ahead and we'll go through an expression. I'll tell you a joke and we'll do some pronunciation exercises. Let's begin with a joke. Long, long ago, there was a man named Quasimodo who was a hunchback who lived in Paris. You may have heard of him before. He is commonly referred to as the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Quasimodo's lifelong job was, of course, to ring the bell at the top of Notre Dame. And when he passed away, the officials of Notre Dame mourned his loss, but immediately started searching for a new hire. Ads were placed all over the city, inviting men and women to try out for the job. A few days later, a bunch of candidates showed up for tryouts. One after another, they rang the bell to the best of their abilities, but the sound just wasn't right. When a man showed up with no arms, the bishop who was doing the interview looked at him with disbelief. How would a man with no arms be fit for this job? But the no-armed man insisted, and within seconds, he showed what he was all about. He ran as fast as he could into the side of the bell. Bong, bong, bong. The beautiful sound resonated through the streets of Paris. Bong, bong. Until suddenly, he ran with such force that he flew off the side of the building and fell to his death. The bishop ran down to the crowd that was gathering below. And someone in the crowd looked at him and said, "Hey, do you know this man?" And the bishop responded, "I don't know, but his face sure rings a bell." Yeah, this was one of my favorite jokes growing up. I was never particularly wonderful at telling it, just because I would usually laugh before the punchline. But let's go through it. So the reason this joke is funny is because of the double meaning of to ring a bell. When something rings a bell, it brings back a memory. We recognize it. It's familiar to us. When the bishop was asked, "Do you know this man?" he responded, "I don't know, but his face sure does ring a bell." In other words, his face is familiar. He's seen it before somewhere. Of course, quite literally, the man's face also rang the bell because he ran into it with his head. So let me read through that punchline one more time. Do you know this man? I don't know, but his face sure does ring a bell, right? And sure does is just like saying definitely, but his face definitely rings a bell. Great. So this is a perfect segue into our expression of the day, which is to ring a bell. Let's go through the definitions of the words first. To ring is a verb and it means to chime or to sound. So bells ring, our cell phones ring, alarms ring. Usually something rings when it's alerting us of something. Maybe the ringing is calling us into action. A bell is a cup-shaped metal object that makes a clear ringing or jingling sound when shaken, struck, or rung. Yesterday, the school bell rang at 3 p.m. Pay attention to the different tenses here with ring. In the past, it is rang, and the past participle is rung. So ring, rang, rung. The expression to ring a bell is incredibly common in American English. But where does it come from? Most sources indicate two different possibilities. The first one is fairly obvious. By ringing a bell, it signals the brain to recall information. The second possibility is Pavlov's dogs. As you may know, Pavlov was a psychologist who experimented with dogs and with other scientists, of course, to determine what sort of stimuli dogs would need in order to associate different things. For example, he had his scientists ring a bell and then deliver food to dogs. After regularly doing this for a period, he would ring the bell, and as a result, the dogs would salivate, even when the food wasn't present. In this circumstance, ringing the bell also would cause the dog to recall information. Let's go through some more examples of this expression to see how we would use it in everyday life experiences. Example number one. So last week I was in my Portuguese class and my teacher asked if any of the students had heard of a Brazilian named Ayrton Senna, who was a famous Formula One driver. My first thought was, that name rings a bell. In other words, the name sounds familiar, but I don't really remember where from. I've heard it before, but I can't really place the name. But after she explained, I remembered talking about Ayrton Senna, this well-known athlete, with my brother-in-law many, many months ago. The name rang a bell. It sounded familiar to me. Example number two. Imagine you're a teenager and your dad tells you to clean your room. By dinner time, if your room is still not clean, your parents might comment. Your mom might say, "Hey, do you remember what your dad asked you to do today? You were supposed to clean your room." In response, you could say, "Yeah, that rings a bell." In other words, yeah, that sounds familiar. I sort of remember that. I recognize that idea. Of course, this is a typical teenager response. Example number three. My mom's best friend, Christine, has a very bad memory. My mom will say things like, "The other day I was talking to John." And Christine will be like, wait, who's John? My mom will say, "John from high school. John Robnett, the guy that we hung out with every Saturday." And her friend will say, sorry, doesn't ring a bell. So as you just heard, this expression can be used in a positive sentence as well as in a negative sentence. It rings a bell. It doesn't ring a bell. Let's go through some pronunciation exercises. We'll use the statement, "That doesn't ring a bell." Repeat after me. That. That doesn't. That doesn't ring a bell. That doesn't ring a bell. Repeat after me. My face rings a bell. Your face rings a bell. Her face rings a bell. His face rings a bell. Its face rings a bell. Our faces ring a bell. Their faces ring a bell. Let's move on to the topic of the day, which is the Liberty Bell. We talked about Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, back in episode number 56, when I shared the story of the first Philly cheesesteak. In that episode, I mentioned a few different things that you have to do in Philadelphia if you visit. You have to run up and down the iconic steps like Sylvester Stallone in the movie Rocky. Dun, 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 dun. You know which one I'm talking about. You have to, of course, eat a good Philly cheesesteak, which is usually made of steak, obviously, but there are vegetarian options for vegetarian listeners. And last but not least, you have to visit Independence Hall. Today, we're going to stop at Independence Hall. Back before the Revolutionary War, before the United States claimed its independence from England, and before Washington, D.C. was chosen as the seat of the U.S. government, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania was where many important political decisions were made. It's where George Washington was chosen as the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army. It's also where both the Declaration of Independence and U.S. Constitution were established by the Founding Fathers. According to NPS.gov, quote, Independence Hall is the birthplace of America, unquote, right? Or the United States, for those of you that don't like the term America on its own. Before Independence Hall was called Independence Hall, it was just the State House of Pennsylvania. And from the get-go, it was where lawmakers would convene. In other words, they would come together, debate new legislation, and, of course, create new laws. In 1751, a bell was commissioned to be displayed at the top of the State House. The reason for the bell was not only to commemorate a 50-year anniversary of Pennsylvania's first constitution, but to serve a purpose. The bell would be rung when lawmakers were to come together. It would also ring to signify that news would be announced. That's right. Instead of printing the news and distributing it, the news would be read publicly. Right? And this is back in the 1700s. There was a problem, though. The first time the bell was rung, it cracked and needed to be rewelded. So it was reworked with more copper and was hung again in perfect condition. 2,080 pounds. After it was hung, the bell was said to ring loud and clear. So nowadays, you see a crack down the front of the Liberty Bell. Where did this famous crack come from if the bell was fixed? The crack that can be seen nowadays happened sometime around the 1840s. Instead of remelting the metal like the first time, the metal workers spread the crack open even further and reinforced the sides of the crack in hopes that the bell would still be able to be used and that it would prevent further breaking or cracking in the metal. Once again, the repair didn't go as planned. Nowadays, you'll see a second crack in the bell. That second crack is what muted the bell forever. So it hasn't been heard in probably 200 years. How how did this Liberty Bell become a symbol? The bell at the State House was first called the Liberty Bell when abolitionists chose it as a symbol for the anti-slavery movement in 1837. On the side of the bell, there's a quote from the King James Version of the Bible: "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That is a quote that was chosen originally to recognize the forward-thinking ideals for the state of Pennsylvania, such as religious and political freedoms. According to NPS, the quote became an anti-slavery, quote, rallying cry, unquote, since in the Bible, this quote referred to a freeing or emancipation of slaves. Over time, the bell became an icon of liberty. In the late part of the 1800s, the bell was put on exposition in cities across the United States as a reminder of the freedoms fought for in the Civil War. During the women's rights movement, it was once again used as a symbol for freedom and was carried across country. When women won the right to vote in 1920, it was put back up in Independence Hall. Some say that the bell rang on July 4th, 1776, the day the U.S. declared independence from Britain. Although there's no record of that happening, the Liberty Bell did hang in the building in Independence Hall, where the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence were created. These are often considered the most important documents in the establishment of the United States. Although the documents are no longer at Independence Hall, they can be found at the National Archives Museum in Washington, D.C., the bell is still there. It can be found at the Independence National Historic Park in Philadelphia. It's free to visit, as is Independence Hall, which is now a UNESCO World Heritage Site for its historical importance in U.S. history. If you can't make it to Philadelphia, there are replicas of the Liberty Bell all over the United States. You can find one at Liberty Square in Walt Disney World. There are many replicas at many state capitals. You'll also see the bell if you send a letter in the United States. The bell can be seen on the Forever postage stamp. You'll also see the iconic symbol on our $100 bill right next to Benjamin Franklin's face. That is, if you tilt the bill nicely, because it's holographic. On the backside of that bill, you'll also see Independence Hall. I hope you've enjoyed all of that information. I think you're all ready for trivia night. And yeah, the next time you see a bell with a giant crack in it, you'll know that's the Liberty Bell, and you should be able to tell a little bit of information about its history. Hope you enjoyed, and until next time, bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.